do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Preserve in prayer.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other Bob, we've sung that a time or two, haven't we? Miss Elnora. Several of us. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The scripture that Ron read for us this morning is really a sermon unto itself. Don't conform to the world. Be transformed by learning about God and God's desires. Discern or understand what the will of God is. Know what is good. Know what is acceptable. Know what is perfect. Got it? Good. Now we can all go home. But oh, if it were that uncomplicated. That being said, I'm going to tell you that probably before this sermon, this service is over today, we might find ourselves a little uncomfortable. Don't be conformed to the world. Right away, I can see where we could all have some issues with what the writer of Romans is saying here. The Apostle Paul wrote Romans, or at least dictated it. And after 11 chapters of what some call heavy-duty theology, Paul transitions in Romans chapter 12 from Christian doctrine to Christian duty, from Christian creed to Christian conduct, and from Christian belief to Christian behavior. I like what I read from one writer when he said that Paul encourages us in Romans chapter 12 to turn our theology into walkology. After almost a dozen earlier chapters of what it means to be a believer in Christ, Paul is finally letting us know what it looks like to be a believer in Christ. I know that it seems like pretty much every time I share a sermon here, I refer back to my younger days, my younger life growing up in church. Good and bad, those years and experiences are a big part of who I am today. So I'll stop right here and let everybody know that I am not what my old-time preacher friends used to call a clothesline preacher. Like a few others here, I grew up in a very, very strict church tradition. The number one rule was modesty in appearance. We were told that that was how the world could tell that we were not a part of them. Men kept their hair short, their breeches long, no facial hair, no jewelry, not so much as a tie clip, a watch, or a wedding band. Women did not cut their hair, wear any makeup or jewelry, and they never, ever wore anything but a long dress or a skirt with a top that showed no naked arms. And women, absolutely no pants. And from time to time, we'd have a traveling preacher, an evangelist, come into town, and they'd hold a few nights of revival meetings. And those evangelists usually were the ones who did the really hard preaching. They were the ones who laid out the rules, and they didn't mince any words. They said the difficult stuff that the pastor didn't always like to say. What we were and were not allowed to do, and what we were and were not allowed to wear. So we called them clothesline preachers. And I have to tell you, they loved the words of Romans chapter 12, especially the be not conformed to this world part. Now, I'm going to admit that sometimes Paul the Apostle had some pretty complicated things to say. But the words that we read today seem to be pretty straightforward and pretty easy to comprehend, really easy to understand. And it's easy to understand if you know what Paul's definition of the world is and how that translates to us today. I'm going to be honest with you. After many sermons and lectures and articles, books and conversations over the last 15, 20 years or so of my faith journey, my understanding of the world has shifted from what it used to be. Whereas I'd always believed the world to be the place where all the reprobates partied and got high and went to dances and movies and wore clothes that Jesus and the evangelist didn't approve of. And the people never went to church because they weren't interested in being really good people or at least godly people. But I've come to understand that the world, and you'll notice this, the world is actually the culture that sees a real need in a real person, but looks the other way. The world is that way of thinking that sees oneself as supreme and better than those who are inferior. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Paul is saying when he tells us that we should never think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to pause in our thinking, to renew our minds. The result is that we see others as valuable, often more valuable than they even see themselves. And we really start to see the value in others when we realize our own role, our own part in this world. We're not a solo act. I have to tell you that it was less than 24 hours ago that I knew that I would be bringing the message, the sermon this morning. Now, I'm a writer. I like to sit down and write things, and I'm especially enjoy writing songs. And I have to tell you that I've never, ever, ever been impressed with a song that I've written at 2:30 in the morning. So God help us with the rest of this sermon. But I have to tell you that when you look up here every Sunday morning and you see a whole team effort, the pastor or the person who's leading the service usually looks like they have it all under control. But there's a lot going on that usually hides just under the radar. I mentioned that it was less than 24 hours ago that I learned I would be doing this, and it was less than 24 hours ago that Daniel learned that he was doing this. Less than 24 hours ago that Daniel was asked and he agreed to step in as our worship leader. And that meant whatever he had going on suddenly became second. And that meant that Brenda had to rearrange some things and make some things happen that take her from her normal routine. This morning we have Liz recording the services and Jason on the audio board. Stephen and Stanley were here early this morning as usual getting things ready for our worship services. Billy's on the video screen. Scott's on the instruments. Ron is sharing the scripture. Cindy is teaching children's church. Seth is serving as trustee today. Bonnie provided a delicious hospitality this morning. And Billy brought food so we can make sure that Nosh is supplied and no one stays hungry. There are no less than a dozen people who directly are involved with this service this morning. Stanley, every week, takes the bus from across town, comes in every week and cleans the place up. And I'm not talking about just a light dusting. Kathy is in the nursery every Sunday morning so parents can focus on worship. We have a mowing crew that'll start soon, and a church-wide cleanup day is about to happen where several of us will come in and get the yard and the interior ready for Easter and spring. We had a fantastic team who served yesterday and blessed the folks at the Arbor Youth Services. And what a gift that was to the folks there. A whole team of visionaries and builders made these props and all of these visuals happen every week of Lent so we could all see with our own eyes the words that we're hearing. Our church elders are constantly holding you in prayer, this whole congregation, and they're always ready to provide spiritual help for you and for Pastor Marcia and myself. It makes me just a little bit giddy when I look back and I see Pam sitting there and she's looking at me, and I know in her mind and in her heart she is praying an intercessory prayer for me. I know it. I feel it. I sense it. Our church trustees work constantly to make sure that our building, our property, and the thousands of things that go on around here are taken care of. Our church council deliberately pays attention to the details of what our churches do and how many dollars that involves, how we can do it better, and how we can reach into the world. The Apostle Paul was smart in a lot of ways. But I think he was ingenious when he reminded us.
For as in one body, we have many members.
And not all members have the same function. So we, who are many, are in one body in Christ, and individually, we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness.
My friends, this is not a solo act. If anyone knows what Paul's talking about when he says that we should not think more highly of ourselves, but remember our place in God's world, it's Pastor Marcia and I. We know that it's God's grace that lets us stand in this place every Sunday morning and serve. Paul was what today we would call a mystic. It's a really large term that could mean a lot of things, but in Paul's case, it meant that he was constantly listening for the voice and the direction of God. I believe that Paul was as human as you and me, which means that he probably missed it as much as you and I do from time to time. I miss it from time to time. But I try hard to listen for the voice of God. I don't always hear it. And honestly, I'm a skeptic sometimes when I hear other people say that they hear from God all the time. Lord knows we've seen and heard some pretty bad abuses when some charismatic leader comes along and has a wild notion that has no basis in Scripture at all. But since they received it while they were in a spiritual place, they ascribe it to God. But I believe Paul was in a special place. A spiritual place of enlightenment when he dictated these words. So, I'd like to stop for a moment. And I'll confess to you this, it's not easy for me. Remember, I mentioned that it might get uncomfortable. The most difficult thing for me to do during this Listen series has been to stop and be quiet, especially as a leader. That few seconds during each service where we stop and do nothing is really hard for me. I had an opportunity yesterday to attend the funeral of Pierce Lyons. Some of you are familiar with him. And Bishop John Stowe was there and delivered some beautiful words. I traveled over to the funeral with Mayor Gray, and as we were in the car, he was asking who else intended to be at the service, and I mentioned several folks, including the bishop, and he said, "Boy, he's hard to talk to." I said, "Yeah, but you know why? It's because he listens. He's not thinking about what he's going to say next. He listens." Sometimes it's hard to talk to somebody who really listens, especially when it's somebody who you think might be looking for that spiritual thing behind your words. So this morning, I want us to do that hard thing and stop and listen. It's been good. But it's been a discipline that I've tried to continue at home and in other places. But when I really need to be quiet and in a quiet place, it's hard. It means turning everything off, shutting everything out, and being quiet. So, let's pause for a moment and be silent. Let's allow ourselves to be open to God. And why not even try to be a mystic? Let's allow God to say something to us. While you're quiet and maybe your eyes are closed and it's just your breathing, it may come in the form of a memory. It may be a scripture or a poem or a word from a book that you've recently read. It may be a line from a song. It may be an aroma. It may be something from nature that has absolutely no structure at all. And you may not even get anything, but that's okay too. Because sometimes the quietness is the message. Listen.
Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not let zag. Do not lag and zag in your zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer.